Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. One day Jesus was asked a simple question by a lawyer. The question was this: "Teacher, which is the great commandment?" And the answer Jesus gave was very forthright and simple. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And then Jesus added, "This is the great and foremost commandment." Of course, we can ask the question right away: do you keep that commandment? Do you love God with your whole heart? But there is perhaps a deeper question that could be asked, a more searching question than that. For you see, you only love God to the extent you yourself experience the love of God. John says we love because He first loved us. Our love to God can only be a response to His love for us. And the wonderful thing that Christians can say is this: the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. That's what Paul tells us in Romans 5:5. The whole verse says, "Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Can you say that? Can you say that you have experienced the love of God poured out in your heart? Well, I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, because I think talking about the love of God poured out in our hearts really gets down to where the rubber meets the road in our relationship with God. If God has poured out His love within your heart, then you have a good relationship with God. So let's talk about that a little bit today. Let's talk about the love of God poured out in our hearts. Let's talk about our relationship with God, your relationship with God. And in that, I'd like to challenge you. Challenge you to seek an improvement in your relationship with Almighty God. And that, I think, is the way we need to apply the words of the Scriptures this morning. So let's look at what Paul says. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts. What is this love of God that Paul is talking about? Well, first of all, let's get it straight that it is God's love towards us. Paul is not talking about our love to God or of God or for God. Paul is talking about God's love for us and our understanding of that love. And secondly, Paul is talking about something that we experience. In verse 8 of chapter 5, Paul talks about a demonstration of love, a proof of love, an objective demonstration of love. He says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's a demonstration of love that's out there that we can see. But that's not what Paul is talking about in verse 5. What Paul is talking about in verse 5 is quite different. It is something that is not shown to us, but it's something that we experience in the depth and the core of our being. And the words which follow, I think, emphasize this very fact. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts, Paul says. It has been poured out. And when Paul uses those words, he means exactly what he says. The idea is that the love of God has been poured out in a profuse fashion. There has been a gushing forth, if you will, of the love of God. The word relates to abundance, an overwhelming flow of the love of God. And that's what Paul wants to get across to us. The same word is used in connection with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, for instance. Perhaps you want to turn there and look at these references. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, where the Apostle Peter quotes the Old Testament prophet. He says, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind." That's the same word that Paul is using. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And of course, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out in a tremendous fashion. And then in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 33, Peter says of Jesus, "Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear." Those who were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost were literally overwhelmed by the outpouring of God's Spirit. It wasn't just a little dribble, a few drops that was experienced. It was a great effusion of God's Spirit that was experienced. And this is what Paul is talking about. A great gushing forth of the love of God. And Paul goes on to say that that love of God is poured out in our hearts. The New American Standard Version says within our hearts, but the better translation is in our hearts. And what Paul is talking about here is that God, the love of God, enters our hearts, filling our hearts, permeating every secret recess of our hearts. But I think we have to understand what Paul means when he speaks of the human heart. The human heart, to be sure, is very complex. And I think all we need do is look at ourselves to realize that. But there are some basic things that the Bible understands about the human heart. In the Bible, the human heart is the center of our thinking. For instance, Proverbs says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And so when we talk about the human heart, we're talking about the center of intellectual life. And then, too, the human heart is the center of our feelings. The Bible very often talks about the heart that is joyful, or the heart that is sad, or the heart that is angry. And so what we're talking about, you see, when we're talking about the human heart, is the center of emotional life. And then, too, the human heart is the center of our decision-making. It is the center of our motives and the seat of our will. And so when we speak about the human heart, we are speaking about the center of volitional life. And to put it very simply, you see, what the Apostle Paul is talking about here is the center and the core of our being, the center of our thinking and our feeling and of our wills. And this is quite amazing, you see, because what the Apostle Paul is actually telling us is that the love of God is poured out, filling our minds.
And the love of God is poured out, overflowing our emotions. And the love of God is poured out, permeating our wills. That's the sum and substance of it. That's what Paul is talking about in this particular text. Now I want to emphasize something. I want to emphasize the fact that this love of God poured out in our hearts is something that we experience. You see, again, this love of God is something that is not proved to us by external evidences. You're not going to use the scientific method here and prove the love of God. External evidences will not work. We experience the love of God in our hearts. The Holy Spirit must bear witness with our spirits that we are children of God. This is not something that we work out rationally. This is not something that we realize through argumentation. It doesn't come at all that way. Nor do we come to terms with the love of God through logical deduction. We experience the love of God in the utter transformation of our minds and our emotions and our wills. Let me try and illustrate this a little bit. If you turn back in your Bibles to Luke, again, the Gospel of Luke, to chapter 15, I think we have a good illustration of what we're talking about. The parable of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse 11. Jesus said this: "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, A severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' And he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he felt compassion for him, and he ran and he embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son of mine was dead, and he has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' They began to be merry." What happened to this son when he returned to his father? This wandering, prodigal son did not want anything from his father except the opportunity to say, "Father, forgive me." And what happened? The father wasn't satisfied with that at all. But when he saw the son coming at a distance, he ran, fell on his neck and embraced him and kissed him. And you can rest assured that that son experienced the love of his father. I remember several years ago when I myself turned my back on my own father. We didn't communicate with one another for over a year. I was in Korea. And when I came home from that country, I didn't tell my father I was coming. He didn't know I was coming. It was this time of year, and I went out to meet him. He was coming home in a carpool. And we met in a parking lot, and it was dark. There were just a few street lights there adjacent to where we were to meet. And I'll always remember the scene, because when he got out of his car, the car he was riding in, he squinted in the darkness to see who it was that was meeting him. And when he saw it was me, he ran. And my friends, that's when you experience that love. Of a father for a son. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's not talking about something that's proved. He's talking about something you experience in the depth of your being. And you can rest assured that that prodigal son, when he met his father, experienced his father's love. And when my father and I embraced, there was nothing that could take away the fullness of heart that we experienced at that time. And that's what Paul is saying when he talks about the love of God poured out in our hearts. I'm reminded of the story, too, of David Brainerd. We read about him at home in our devotions. He was a missionary to the Indians before the Revolutionary War. And he died at the age of 29. And this fellow, John Talick, who wrote about him, says before his death, "These days were days of great weakness. But at times David felt and saw the power of God as never before. From his deathbed, David foresaw the Savior coming in his kingdom, and that sight made him glad. And now he was sure that the work of God would go on until his spirit was poured out upon all nations. The day before his death, he was delighted to see his brother John again. John was to succeed David, and so John wanted to hear any advice his dying brother might give him. David was soon too weak to speak, but warm tears showed that love still flowed in his heart. Love to John and love to those Indians whom they both served. David longed for death, most of all because he knew that in heaven he would serve God without sin. And the last entry in his diary reads, 'Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.' At about 6 o'clock on the morning of 9th of October, 1747, David's prayer was answered." Why does a man like David Brainerd have no fear of death? Why does he, in fact, look forward to death? I'll tell you, my friends.
Because the love of God was poured out in his heart. He had no fear of death. He knew the embrace of the Savior. He felt the power of God in his soul.
And I'm also reminded of a dear and saintly woman of 90 years of age. And when you read the Word of God to her, she thrills at it. And when you pray with her, it is, as it were, you're taken up into glory itself. And you have to be amazed at her love of God and how it is that she enjoys so richly her God. The love of God is poured out in her heart.
Is the love of God poured out in your hearts, my friends? Isn't this the very essence of your relationship with God? Knowing the love of God poured out in your heart. Knowing from personal and intimate experience that love of God.
Without knowing that flood of God's love in your heart, your relationship with God, needless to say, will be weak and beggarly. And I'm afraid this is the case with too many of us. Our relationship with God is nominal. And why? Because it's only an intellectual knowledge of the Almighty that we have. And we're afraid too often of emotionally involvement with God. What we need is the love of God poured out in our hearts, in our minds, in our emotions, in our wills. And if you look again at Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the Apostle Paul gives us some clues about how this is done, how we come to experience that love of God. He says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit is the instrument of God's love. He has been given to us, Paul says. And every Christian can say that. And I want to talk about that a little bit more next week. But the point is now that the Holy Spirit is the one who floods your mind and heart and will with the love of God. And so we come back to that question, what is your relationship with God? Do you love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength? If you don't love God as you should, the problem is this. You haven't experienced the love of God poured out in your heart the way you ought to experience that love. And that means you need to pray. You need to pray for the outpouring of God's Spirit on your life. And you need to pray for the filling of God's Holy Spirit. You need to seek the face of Almighty God. This is what Jesus tells us. Look at Luke again. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. Isn't this what Jesus says to us? He says to us, I say to you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Oh, my friends, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. Petition God. Ask and keep asking. Will He deny you? No, He won't. He says very plainly, for the one who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened. So it may be that your individual relationship with God is not what it should be, but that can be remedied. Earnestly seek God to pour out His Spirit upon you. Pursue Him. My friends, be like Jacob of old, who would not let go. Don't let go either. Pursue God until He sees fit to bless you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, hear us now, we pray. Pour out your love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so transform us, Father, that we will be the kinds of people that we ought to be. Hear us, we ask, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.